Mahomes, Hare Krishna, Shimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Namadi Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Goravani, Charni, Navishesha, Shunyavadi, Paschacha, Teja, Tarni, Omaganatu and Nashag and Anjina, Shlakaya Chakshuram, Nidikam Yenitas, Maishi Gadveda Ma. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who has kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we'd like to welcome some new devotees on tonight that hadn't been on the conference before, Govinda. Good to see you. And also Anipuda from the Great Republic of the United States in Sacramento. And I think his father's on too, Bart. So we'd like to welcome these devotees joining us every evening or every day at exactly the same time. We are reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We are actually finishing up the second chapter of the Majjhalila Chaitanya Charitamrita. But even if people can't be at every reading, it's okay, because each and every class is actually a class unto itself. So there's different topics and different stories dealt with at each class. It's a complete unit. So even if you miss one, you miss 10, you miss 20, hearing any of them, like Prabhupada said, reading his books is like taking a bite out of a sweet ball. Wherever you bite, it's always sweet. So even though we're reading in sequence, still every class or every reading every evening is actually connected in a complete unit. So let's go on to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And as I mentioned before, I'm going to have to end a little earlier tonight because I am not at home. I am staying at someone's place, and I have to have a little program tonight. It's close to Asheville, North Carolina, just about 4 hours away. I do drive. As some people are surprised that sannyasis drive, but sannyasis do drive. We do brush our own teeth. So let's go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Vrinda. So we're, as I mentioned before, we're just finishing up. I actually need my glasses for this. We're just finishing up the second chapter of the Majjhalila, and I think there's about 10 more verses to go in this chapter. We'll go up to the third chapter. So we got text 86 today. Nahi kahansa viroda, nahi kahan anuroda, sahajavastu kari vivarana, yadihaya ragodesha, tahan haye abesha, sahajavastu nayayalikana. So the translation is, in this Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is no contradictory conclusion, nor is anyone else's opinion accepted. I've written this book to describe the simple substance as I have heard it from superiors. If I become involved in someone's likes and dislikes, I cannot possibly write the simple truth. So it's actually interesting that even in those days, there were controversies going on. Whether he was doing the right thing by writing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, right thing. Because when everyone is presenting Krishna consciousness, there will be people who disagree with someone's methodology of presenting Krishna consciousness, and there'll be others who agree with the methodology of presenting Krishna consciousness. So we actually had a conference on the GPC, a small group of us today, talking about innovative methods for presenting Krishna consciousness, and directly being avoided the word preaching, because preaching has a very negative connotation. It basically means that someone is just harangued and harassed until they give in. So we don't like the word preaching. We like the word sharing, giving people the opportunity, telling people about Krishna consciousness. These are all important things. So today we were talking about innovative methods of sharing Krishna consciousness, and then we were trying to come up with some principles that could not be deviated from. And of course, you do have certain principles like what? Don't eat meat, fish, and eggs. Don't take intoxication. Don't have illicit sex. And don't get. And also, we have Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Das Kula. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all the incarnations. The soul is eternal. The soul is undergoing different reincarnations, etc. Like that. We don't change those things. Presenting Krishna consciousness, we can take some risks. Really, we can take some risks. Not in terms of breaking four regular principles, but we can actually take some risks. Like Srila Prabhupada, one time Srila Prabhupada was advising two devotees who were preaching in Iran. Iran, of course, now is theocracy. Theocracy means tradition. But in those days, it was a monarchy. And the devotees, they were preaching. They were preaching to the Shah of Iran's family, daughter, wife. And how were they preaching? They were teaching them yoga. Prabhupada liked that very much. Prabhupada said, you know, in like a pin, out like a plow. So Prabhupada really did approve of all sorts of different strategies. Can you decrease the audio? I will decrease the audio. Does everyone have that problem? Is cutting out? When do I get a little? Okay. This may be a little too loud. All right, hold on a second. Audio settings. Yeah, it's kind of loud. How's this? Does this sound better to everybody? Okay. All right. Because I'm not using my standard microphone. A little bit difficult today. So getting back to the point, so Prabhupada was willing to take risks. If you set the audio filter to medium or low, that's very good. Thank you. Audio filter medium. That should take care of it. Does that sound better now? Yes, no, maybe. Someone should give me a response. Yes. Okay, got it. So anyway, so Prabhupada was willing to stretch things in order to bring people to Krishna consciousness. What to speak of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was willing to stretch things. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains the simplest thing for human beings is to follow their predecessors. Judgment according to mundane senses is not a very easy process. Whatever is awakened by attachment to one's predecessor is the way of devotional services indicated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The author says, however, that he cannot consider the opinions of those who become attracted or repelled by such things because one cannot write impartially. In other words, the author is stating that he did not inject personal opinion in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He has simply described a spontaneous understanding from superiors. And of course, his superiors were Raghunath Das Goswami and the other Goswamis. Also, Jiva Goswami was in touch with Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. If he had been carried away by someone's likes and dislikes, he could not have written such a sublime I heat fine. Oh my God, someone is heated up according to their message. Sublime subject matter in such an easy way. The actual facts are understandable to real devotees. When these facts are recorded, they are very congenial to the devotees, but one who is not a devotee cannot understand. Such is the subject matter for realization. Mundane scholarship and its concomitant attachments and detachments cannot arouse spontaneous love of God. And such love cannot be described by a mundane scholar. Yeva nahi buje keha shunite shunite seha ki adbhuta chaitanya charita krishna upajive vritti janive rasire riti shunile badahaya hita. If one does not understand in the beginning but continues to hear again and again the wonderful effects of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, will bring love for Krishna. Gradually, one will come to understand the love that bears between Krishna and the gopis and other associates of Vrindavana. Everyone is advised to continue to hear over and over again in order to greatly benefit. Of course, this is the answer to the question that was raised during last night's class, that why did Prabhupada want these books distributed and put in the university libraries and distributed to scholars? Because if they heard it over and over again, they would gradually be able to understand the loving affairs between Krishna and the gopis. That's the point. To hear again and again, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And ultimately, as described here, the wonderful effects of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes will bring love for Krishna. So that's the benefit of hearing over and over again, even if you don't understand. So that answers yesterday's question. Bhagavata shlokamaya tika tara sanskrita haya avukaiche vuje avuche tribu vatna ihan shloka dvichari taravyakya vashakari in reply to those critics who say that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of Sanskrit verses, it can be said that Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of Sanskrit verses, as are the commentaries in Srimad Bhagavatam. Nonetheless, Srimad Bhagavatam can be understood by everyone as well as devotees who study the Sanskrit commentaries. Why then will people not understand the Chaitanya Charitamrita? There are only a few Sanskrit verses, and these have been explained in Bengali vernacular. What is the difficulty in understanding? In other words, whatever Sanskrit verses are there, Chaitanya Charitamrita, explain in the Bengali, simple Bengali language later on. Shesha Lila Rasutra Gana Kailuntit Akichu vivarana ihandrastarate jitahaiha takye areya yu shisha istari balila shisha yati maha prabhura kripa hoya. I have already given a synopsis of all the facts and figures of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's last pastimes, and I have a desire to describe them elaborately. If I remain longer and am fortunate enough to receive the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I shall try to describe them again more elaborately. So, as I mentioned before, this is his motivation for giving the synopsis. Now, I can also connect this to Srila Prabhupada's motivation for translating or commenting and publishing the Krishna book. Why did Prabhupada publish the Krishna book as one of the first books? And the answer is that Prabhupada was not sure that he would be able to complete the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in fact, he did not complete the Srimad Bhagavatam because he left this world just in the beginning of the 10th canto translation and commentary. So Srila Prabhupada was right about that. So he's giving us the Krishna book. The Krishna book is the summary study of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's sincere disciples and followers, we were able to get the continuation of the Srimad Bhagavatam up to the 12th canto. So by Prabhupada's mercy, actually this is all done by Prabhupada's mercy. The rest of the 10th canto, the 11th canto, the 12th canto should be seen as being translated by Prabhupada's mercy, non-different from the translations by his divine grace Srila Prabhupada. And the devotees followed the same system which Srila Prabhupada followed. Srila Prabhupada consulted the commentaries of the previous acharyas, and these devotees did the same thing, and also consulted Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book and other literatures that Srila Prabhupada had written. And so their writings in the rest of the 10th canto, 11th canto, 12th canto are perfectly chaste, perfectly in line with what Srila Prabhupada would have done. Ami vrida jaratura kite kanpaye kara mani kichu smarana nahaya na dekiye nayane na shuniye shravane tabuli ki devara vismaya. I have now become too old and disturbed. While I write, my hands tremble. I cannot remember anything, nor can I see or hear properly. Still I write, and this is a great wonder. Now, anyone who examines the Chaitanya Charitamrita will see that there's exquisite poetry there. The grammar is perfect. The explanation is completely in tune. Completely loyal to Srila Prabhupada, well, not just Srila Prabhupada, but completely loyal to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life without any exaggeration. And this is proof that devotional service is transcendental. Who could write such a literature in such, at such an advanced age with such challenges as mentioned here? Ayantilila Sara Sutrama Javistara Kari Kichu Karin Lunvarnana Iha Maje Maria Be Varnitena Parita Be Ayila Vatagana Dana. In this chapter, I have to some extent described the essence of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya at the end. If I die in the meantime and cannot describe them in detail, at least the devotees will have this transcendental treasure. Wow. It's still cutting out. The voice is still cutting out. Hold on a second. I know. One way to fix it is okay, let's put it on low. And what else can we do? Okay, see if this helps at all. Sorry about this. This is not my normal equipment. Next time I travel, I will actually bring more equipment. I'm just using the computer's microphone at this point, and it's really not the best thing. Sangshepe suchukaila, yehana likila, ageta kariva vistara, yaditata dina jie, mahaprabhura kripahaye, ichabare kariva vichara. So, translation is, in this chapter, I have briefly described the Ancha Lila. Whatever I have not described, I shall describe extensively in the future. If by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, I live for so many days that I can fulfill my desires, I will give full consideration to these pastimes. Jotavada Bhaktagana Votonsavara Sri Charana Sabe More Karaha Santosha Sarupa Goshandira Mata Rupa Raghunatha Janayata Kailiki Nahi Mora Dosha. I worship here with the lotus feet of all kinds of devotees, both advanced and neophyte. I request all of them to be satisfied with me. I am faultless because I have written herein whatever I have understood from Sarup Damodar Goswami and Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswamis. I have neither added to nor subtracted from their version. How's the sound now? Someone. Ninety-5%. Can't get too better than that. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there are three kinds of devotees known as Bhajana Vigyal, experts in devotional service. There's the Bhajana Shila, devotees engaged in devotional service, and Krishna Name Dikshita, Krishna Namakari, initiated devotees engaged in chanting. Okay, there's three types. The experts in devotional service, devotees engaged in devotional service, and initiated devotees engaged in chanting. I guess you can be a member of all three categories. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita begs the mercy of all these devotees and asks them to please with him. He says, let the neophyte devotees, the devotees who are very expert in arguing, though they have no sense of advanced devotional service, who think themselves very advanced because they imitate some smart brahmanas. Wow. Let such devotees not be displeased with me. I got to say this purport. This is really interesting. Thinking that I have committed errors and I beg their pardon with great humility, but I'm submitting that I personally have no desire to add or subtract anything. I've only written what I have heard in the disciplic succession because I am dedicated to the lotus previous acharyas like Swarup Damodar, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Rupa Goswami. I've only written what I have learned from them. Okay. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Advaitari Bhakta Vrinda Shiredari Sabara Charana Swarupa Rupa Sanatana Raghunathera Sri Charana Duli Karon Mastake Bhushana. According to the Parampara system, I wish to take the dust from the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami. I wish to take the dust of their lotus feet upon my head. In this way, I wish to be blessed with their mercy. Anagyandra, Agnatana, Vachera Vaishnava Gana. Vandon Tandra Mukya Haridasa Chaitanya Vilasa Sindhu. Alera Eka Bindu. Kana Kahe Krishna Dasa. Receiving orders from the above authorities and the Vaishnavas of Vrindavan, especially from Haridas, the priest of Govindaji, I, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, have tried to describe one small particle of one drop of one wave of the ocean of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Majalila, second chapter, describing the ecstatic manifestations of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, and then we'll move on to chapter 3. Chapter 3 describes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's stay at the house of Advaitacharya. All right. In his Amrita Prabaha Bhasha, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the following summary of the third chapter. After accepting the sannyasa order, in Katwa, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled continuously for 3 days in Radhadesh, and by the trick of Nityananda Prabhu, eventually came to the western side of Shantipura. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was induced to believe that the river Ganges was the Yamuna. When he was worshipping the sacred river, Advaita Prabhu arrived in a boat. Advaita Prabhu took his bath at the Ganges and took him to his Advaita's house. There, all the Navadvipa devotees, along with Mother Shachi, came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This house was located at Shantipura. Mother Sachi Devi cooked for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, and at that time, there were many joking exchanges between Advaita Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. In the evening, I'll answer your question in a second. In the evening, there was a mass sankirtan at the house of Advaita Prabhu, and Mother Sachi Devi gave Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu permission to leave. She requested him to make Jagannath Puri Ilachala his headquarters. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu granted his mother's request and, followed by Nityananda, Mukunda, Jagadananda, and Damodar, left Shantipura. Bidding farewell to Mother Sachi Devi, they all proceeded toward Jagannath Puri, following the path of Chatra Bhoga. He may have had that memory, but Prabhupada directly said he wrote the Krishna book because he was not sure that he'd be able to see complete the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, Prabhupada said something very interesting. Prabhupada said that if someone says Prabhupada said something, there's a good chance the Prabhupada didn't say something. So usually we should go by the direct quote from Srila Prabhupada. And of course, the 10th canto is the beautiful face of Sri Krishna. And the first canto is the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, text one. Yasam vidayot pranayot goro vrindavanam gantu manabramadya radhe vraman shanti purhim ayitva lasa vaktariha tam natosmi. After accepting the sannyas order of life, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of intense love for Krishna, wanted to go to Vrindavan, but apparently by mistake, he wandered to Radha Desh. Later, he arrived at Shantipur and enjoyed himself there with his devotees. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Prabhu, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, headed by Sri Vas. Chavishavatsara Shesha Ye Magamasa Tara Shukla Pakshe Prabhu Karila Sanyasa. At the end of his 24th year, in the month of Magh, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the sannyas order during the waxing period of the moon. Sanyasakari Prima Veshe Chalila Vrindavana Radhate Shetina Dina Karila Vramna. After accepting the sannyasa order, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of intense love for Krishna, started for Vrindavana. However, he mistakenly wandered about in a trance continuously for 3 days in a tract of land known as Radha Desh. And Prabhupada explains that the word Radha Desh comes from the word rastra, or state. From rastra, the corrupted word Radha has come. The part of Bengal on the western side of the Ganges is known as Radha Desh. Another name is Pondradesh or Pendodesha. The word Pendo is a corrupted form of the word Pondra. It appears that the capital of Rastradesha was situated in that part of Bengal. It's interesting. Eishlokapadi Prabhu Bhavera Veshe Brahmate Bhavitra Kaila Saba Radha Deshe. Passing through the tract of land known as Radha Desha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited the following verse in ecstasy. So this is, what's coming up is a sannyas verse, the sannyasis chant. This is what we learn when we take sannyas. This is not a secret verse. There's also a secret sannyas Gayatri mantra that sannyasis chant. But this is something the sannyasis meditate on. It's a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Etam sastaya paradmanishtam adyasitam purvatamar mahatvi aham tarishyami durantaparo tamo mukundangri nishevayayava. As a brahmana from a Avanti Desha said, I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of emissions by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas who were fixed in firm devotion to the Lord, Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In connection with this verse, which is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, 23rd chapter, text 57, Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur says that of the 64 items required for rendering devotional service, acceptance of the symbolic marks of sannyas is a regulative principle. If one accepts the sannyas order, his main business is to devote his life completely to the service of Mukunda Krishna. If one does not completely devote his mind and body to the service of the Lord, he does not actually become a sannyasi. It is not simply a matter of changing dress. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, text 1, it is also stated, Anashrita karma polong kanyong karma karoti yaha sa sannyasi cha yogi cha. One who works devotedly for the satisfaction of Krishna is a sannyasi. The dress is not sannyasa. The attitude of service to Krishna is. So really, that's the essence of sannyasa. And actually, the word sannyasa. So we have sun and yas. Got it? Sun, yas. And a person who is a sun, yas, is called a sanyasi. So what does that mean? Yas means to give up. So if you say that someone is a yasi, just N-Y-A-S-I. It means someone who is just renouncing everything in this world. And the word song means to accept. So you have apparently two contradictory expressions here, accepting and rejecting. So what does that actually mean for us? It means that a sannyasi accepts everything favorable for serving Krishna and rejects everything that's not favorable for serving Krishna. And anyone who does that, according to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, the verse that Prabhupada here quotes, anashuta karma palam karyam karma karoti yasa sannyasi jyogi cha. Anyone who does that is the sannyasi, regardless of how they dress or what gender they have. A real sannyasi is someone who accepts everything favorable for serving Krishna, rejects everything unfavorable. That's the definition of the word. Of course, there is the formal order of sannyas, but we find there are many who are in the formal order of sannyas who are not sannyasis. And what do I mean by that? Does that mean that there's a contradiction? I'm contradicting myself? No, they're not sannyasis in essence. Someone may have taken the formal order of sannyas and be a bogey. A bogey is one who's simply interested in enjoying this material world. Or he may have taken the formal order of sannyas and maybe Hatha Yogi was interested in cities, not cities like New York and Chicago and stuff like that, but cities or yoga powers. Or he may be someone who is interested in mukti. So bhukti, mukti, and city. So just by someone dressing up as a sannyasi, it doesn't mean. And it helps some people. In certain circumstances, it's actually very helpful because it helps one breathe. In fact, that's one of the external reasons that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, was that people would listen to him when he preached. That's one of the external reasons. Of course, the internal reason was that he was feeling separation from Krishna, as he is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So the word Paratma Nishta means being a devotee of Lord Krishna. Paratma, the supreme person, is Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchananda Vigraha. That's Brahma's Nita, the fifth chapter, first verse. Those who are actually completely dedicated to the lotus feet of Krishna's service are actually sannyasis. As a matter of formality, the devotee accepts the sannyas dress as previous acharyas did. He also accepts the three dandas. Be done, as I explained before, is the body, mind, and words offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the soul. Later, Vishnu Swami considered that accepting the dress of a tree dandi was paratma nishta, means fixed in service to Krishna. Therefore, sincere devotees add another danda, the jiva danda, to the three existing dandas. The Vaishnava sannyasi is known as a tree dandi sannyasi. The Mayavadi sannyasi accepts only one danda, not understanding the meaning of tri danda. Later, many persons in the community of Shiva Swami gave up the Atma Nishta, devotional service of the Lord, and followed the path of Shankaracharya impersonalism. Instead of accepting 108 names, those in the Shiva Swami Sampradaya follow the path of Shankaracharya and accept the 10 names of sannyas. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the then-existing order of sannyas, namely Ekadanda, he still recited a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam about the Tridanda sannyasa accepted by the Brahmana from Avantipura. Let's see if we're going to be able to finish this purport. Ooh, it's a real long purport. Okay. So we're going to have to finish this paragraph. Indirectly, he declared that within that Ekadanda, one dana, four dandas existed as one. Accepting Ekadanda sannyas without Paratma Nishta, devotional service to Lord Krishna, is not acceptable to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In addition, according to the exact regulative principles, one should add the Jiva Danda to the Tree Danda. These four dandas bound together as one are symbolic of unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. But the Ekadandi sannyasis of the Mayavad school are not devoted to the service of Krishna. They try to merge into the Brahman effulgence, which is a marginal position between material and spiritual existence. Accept this impersonal position as liberation. Mayavadi sannyasis, not knowing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a Tree Dandi, think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an Ekadandi sannyasi. This is due to their vibharta, bewilderment. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no such thing as an Ekadandi sannyasi. Indeed, the Tridandi sannyasi is accepted as the symbolic representation of the sannyasi. By citing this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the sannyas order recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Mayavadi sannyasis, who are enamored of the external energy of the Lord, and the mind of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All right, let's see. Okay, so we're going to end here, and we'll take some questions. And first, we're going to read a question from chat. Let me unmute everybody. First, let's deal with this question. The main purpose of sannyas life is to be in constant companionship with the Supreme Lord, either by thinking of him, this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, purport, within the heart, or hearing of him through oral reception. In this age, hearing is more important than, hearing is more important. Than thinking, because one's thinking may be disturbed by mental agitation. But if one concentrates on hearing, he will be forced to associate with sound vibration. Krishna and the sound vibration, Krishna and non-death and death. So if one loudly chants or vibrates Hare Krishna, he will be able to think of Krishna immediately. This process of chanting is the best process for this, of self-realization. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached it so nicely for the benefit of all humanity. Very nice. Okay, so who has a question? Does anyone like to ask a question?
Yes, Gurudev.
Yes, Praneshra.
Yes, my question is how to deal and identify the sannyasi is the right person and he is bona fide.
How to identify if a sannyasi is actually a bona fide sannyasi? Well, you can just see if he's engaged 24 hours a day in Krishna's service. And even more important is Samidpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam, that he is a servant of his spiritual master. And Samidpani Shrotriyam, he has heard nicely from his spiritual master and repeating. And Brahmanishtam, he never deviates from the service of his spiritual master. He's nishta. Just like we just heard the word paratma nishta. Nishta means fixed. 24, 7. That's how you're going to understand. Because many people dress as sannyasis and they are not actually qualified. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, so good to see you. I hope you're keeping safe from COVID. Are you safe? Yeah, you have to.
Yes, Maharaj.
So, where are you right now?
Right now in Govardhan, but going to Chandigarh by next morning, today.
So, how do you stay safe from the virus?
Yeah, I'm here, so because not going outside.
Uh-huh.
And living more time in the home, but today going to Chandigarh by car.
By car. So you're not traveling by train, right?
Train from Mathura to Nizamuddin and then by car from Nizamuddin to Delhi to take some files.
You don't think the train is dangerous?
Yeah, because I have to carry 3 masks. One is cotton and 2 is surgical mask and also sanitizer and the hand gloves with the... with surgical hand gloves.
Okay, just be very careful. All right. So who else has a question?
Please accept my humble obeisance.
Rakesh, okay. What's the question?
Guru Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj. My question is... as regarding the subtle sex life, in previous classes you described that a devotee who tries to imitate the acharyas just to get the appreciation from other devotees, that's a subtle sex life. So I have another question. Yes. Related to that. What if you are just providing service in the temple and people like your service, let's say I do cleaning, and they come and say, oh, nice work done, you've done a good job. But yeah. Then you start...
That's nice.
But then you start.
If you start to be motivated by that, then that is the attachment to subtle sex life.
Yeah, that was a question. Like when you start cleaning, sometimes thinking, "Oh, you want to be appreciated. You have done so much work." So is that going to be subtle sex life too?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you get away? Like people want to be appreciated. So what do you do then?
I mean, appreciation is nice. Encouragement is very nice. But if one's motivation is the encouragement, it depends on what your motivation is.
But the motivation changes. Like, you know, I'm not doing what with that motivation, but sometimes the thought comes in like, oh, you're going to be up. Like, it's just very subtle.
Well,
like,
I know the thought is one thing, but the whole point is if you would continue doing it without the praise, then that's good. Whether you got praise or not, that's very good. But if you're dependent on the praise, your main motivation is the praise, then that's subtle sex.
Okay.
Profit, adoration, distinction. Okay?
Yes, we must. Thank you.
Okay, who else has a question? No one else has a question. And actually, I have guests coming right now to see me. So we have to end. So thank you very much. Tomorrow we'll be home and we'll have better audio. And we apologize for all the glitches tonight. And it's nice to see Govinda and some of the buddies from Sacramento, too. Aniruddha and his father. It's very, very nice to see you all. Okay. All the buddies. Bye.